Hi, I've been volunteering with a Christian organization called Summit, which stands for Serving, Understanding, Mentoring Migrants in Transition. With the recent crisis in Afghanistan, we decided to reach out to the Afghani families that we are connected to in Sydney by giving them care boxes. Thank you to everyone who supported this either prayerfully or financially. 60 boxes containing Afghani traditional foods and treats, toys, mental health packages and messages from the church, including QR codes and links to different gospel stories, songs and printed psalms and diary, were delivered to 60 Afghan families. It was so special to be able to show Jesus' love to our Afghan friends this way. When I delivered some of these boxes, I would ring their phone when I arrived at the front of the house, and sometimes I had children come racing out asking me what was in the box. It was so sweet at one house, watching a 7 or 8 year old brother and sister together towing the box away with massive smiles on their faces. Other volunteers had to reject offers of chai tea as this was a contactless delivery. The Afghani people were very grateful and touched and sent many messages back to us like, "Thank you, I feel like there is at least someone who thinks about us. And thanks a lot to every one of you for the sympathy and feeling you have for Afghanistan and the Afghani people who are in a very, very terrible condition because of the Taliban. It is a very sad situation for every one of us. So thank you for your amazing response. More than triple what was budgeted was raised, and the extra funds will be used to continue to support Afghan families. We'll also, in about 6 weeks or so, follow up with sending red roses, pot plants, to these Afghan families, which is a significant symbol in Afghan culture for friendship. And so we hope that this will also allow for personal connection as they invite us, hopefully, in for tea. Please pray for these 60 Afghan families, and also for Summit as we interact with many people who do not yet know the transforming gospel of Jesus. Contact me or the pastoral team if you would like to know more about Summit or what we do, or if you'd like to get involved.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Church Online. I just want to start by thanking all you guys out there who over the past couple of weeks have texted me some encouragement about my haircut. As many of you would know, Kathy used me as a sermon illustration, particularly my decision on the 26th of June to defer my haircut for 1 week. The implication being that I was now looking a little shaggy. Well, I am now at week 16 without a haircut and enjoying every minute of it. Thank you also to those who suggested that I perhaps try for a man bun or for a mullet. I'll take your advice on board, but don't get your hopes up. Some years ago, I booked tickets for the ballet for Kathy's birthday. I booked 6 months beforehand, and so I'd managed to get some really good seats. And so on the day of her birthday, I bring out her card, and in the card are the tickets for the ballet, and she looks at them, and she says, "The tickets were for last night." And I thought she was joking, but unfortunately, she was telling the truth. It had been so long that I'd forgotten that I hadn't booked the tickets for her birthday, but for the night before. And I just had this overwhelming sense of disappointment. Not just for missing the performance, it was actually perhaps more for dashing all of our hopes and plans for going into the city and just really celebrating her birthday. Now, to her credit, Kathy managed to shrug off the disappointment pretty quickly, and it was a good day. But I still remember that feeling of just intense disappointment that my hopes and my plans for her birthday had been dashed. And I will never, ever make that same mistake again. These past 18 months, I think, have been, for many of us, a series of dashed hopes, a series of disappointments, and at times of despair. It's school holidays now, but you wouldn't know it, right? It just seems to highlight how difficult this past, particularly the past 13 weeks, have been. For many of us, part of the anxiety that we experience is just having no sense of what we can look forward to, what there is to hope for. There's no sense of when there will be things to look forward to. Will we celebrate that wedding? Will I see that friend on their birthday? For some, it's even more serious. You know, will I get back to work? Will I have my job? How long do I have to juggle so many things? And for many people, these past 13 weeks, and even perhaps the past 18 months, has been a roller coaster of hopes, but then those hopes being dashed. Having hopes dashed is part of our human experience. Disappointment and at times even despair are emotions that we all experience. And at times such as that, it can be really hard to either find hope or to hold on to hope. Perhaps the book in the Bible that best captures just the range of emotions that we experience is the book of Psalms. And so today and in the coming weeks, we want to turn to the book of Psalms. And today I want to do so with the desire to explore the question, where do I find hope? So just allow me to pray before we open up God's word. Father, we do want to ask that as we allow your word to speak into our lives today, that we would find strength and encouragement for both our present and also for what we have to face in the future. I pray that we would indeed find a sense of hope, a sense of moving forward, a sense of something solid to hang on to through your word. And so we pray that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
The Bible reading this morning is from Psalms, Psalm number 71, verses 1 through 14. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. This is the word of God.
Where do I find hope? We find hope when we look up. We find hope when we look back, and we find hope when we look in. And I want to unpack each of those three. Firstly, if you want to find hope, look up to God. This is the theme that runs throughout Psalm 71 as well as throughout Scripture. If you want to find hope, look up to God. In verse 5, where it says, "For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." There's this declaration that God is not only just a present hope, but that God has always been the source of the psalm writer's hope throughout his entire life. And as the psalmist looks into the future, his declaration, his expectation is this, that as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Now that sounds really positive, and you may think that, wow, Psalm 71 is such a positive psalm of praise, but Psalm 71 is actually more a lament than a hymn of praise. Things are not going well for the writer of Psalm 71. He starts with this desperate plea to God. He says, rescue me, deliver me, save me, because there are cruel and there are evil men who are seeking to destroy me. The writer of this psalm appears to be old in years. He describes his life as one where he has experienced many bitter troubles, and that he is currently weak, very possibly referring to suffering some kind of illness. And because of his weakness and because of his troubles, his enemies gleefully declare God has forsaken him. This was certainly common thinking back then, and to an extent still raises its ugly head in some churches today, that health and wealth are a sign of God's blessing upon a person, his presence with them, but then illness and trouble is considered to be a sign of God's abandonment, his disapproval, even his curse upon your life. And yet the psalm writer, old in years, troubled with illness and tormented by others, he looks up. He looks up to God and he declares, for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. And then as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. And when we read through toward the end of this psalm, he declares these beautiful words of hope. He says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Now, this psalm uses two different words for hope. And I don't want to go too technical on you, but these words are so important for us to grasp what hope is. The first word is the word in verse 5 where it says, you have been my hope. And the Hebrew word here for hope has the parallel meaning of the Hebrew words for confidence and for trust. And we actually see that in the translation in our Bibles. It says, for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence. There's this parallel between hope and confidence. My confidence since my youth. And then in the next verse, from birth I have relied on you. This aspect of trust. And so here, hope is paired with, paralleled with, confidence and trust. And the reason why this is important to understand is because our English word hope has a much weaker sense, and it is used in much weaker ways. For when we say, I hope, it carries with it a sense of, well, it probably won't happen, but I hope it does. If I'm lucky, maybe it will. You see, at best, in our English vocabulary, when we say we hope something, it's almost like wishful thinking. And at its worst, it's thinly veiled pessimism. But that's not the meaning of hope that it carries in verse 5. In the Hebrew, by declaring that the Lord has been my hope, the psalm writer is saying, my confidence is in the Lord. My trust is in him. And then we come to the word hope in verse 14, and it's a different Hebrew word that's used. This is the sentence that says, as for me, I will always have hope. Here the Hebrew word is similar to and paralleled with a sense of waiting, expectantly. It is a confident trust that something will happen. Not just might happen, but will happen. And again, this is so different to how we, in our English language, use the word hope. Now, I might say, I hope that the Eels win this year's grand final. But even the most diehard Eels fan would balk at declaring the Eels will, not just might or hope, but the Eels will win this year's grand final. But this is the force of the word in verse 14. He says, I will always have hope. I wait with a confident expectancy of what God will do. And we see this in verse 20. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. See, the hope that we have is not that God might, maybe, hopefully do something. But this Hebrew word conveys the meaning that he will. And he says with confidence, If you want to find hope, look up to God. This is Psalm 71. Look up to God to find hope. And this is consistent with other psalms, consistent with all of the Old Testament in the way they understand hope. In Psalm 25, just quickly, it says, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust." This parallel again. "I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause." And in Psalm 33, it says, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." And in both of these psalms, we see again this sense of confidence, this aspect of trusting in God and this expecting, waiting for him, that he will, not might, but that he will act. If you want to find hope, don't look to your armies, don't look to the strength of others, says the psalm writers. Look up to God. Now the Psalms and the rest of Scripture are not saying that we cannot have confidence or trust and expectancy in others. It is such a good thing and such a blessing to be able to have confidence and trust when it comes to family or our friends, with our leaders, and at the moment with our doctors. It is a good thing to trust them. The Psalms instead declare that above all other people and above all other things, we can trust and should trust, and we can have confidence and wait expectantly on God because he is sovereign. Over the past couple of years, I've really been blessed by my friendship with somebody who came to faith in their late 50s. There was such a strong sense of joy in him when he found Christ, but a diagnosis of cancer followed shortly after. The diagnosis itself was quite concerning, but his first response was to seek prayer. And so he and a few of us gathered around and we prayed together. We prayed with confidence, we prayed with trust, and we prayed with a sense of expectancy that God would act. We prayed for a miraculous healing. His trust and our trust and confidence was in God. He looked up. But he also was prepared to trust others. He trusted us as his friends to walk with him. He trusted his oncologist. He trusted his surgeon. That God would use us and God would use them to be part of that healing process. You see, I was blessed and encouraged by his willingness to trust those around him, knowing that we were all for him. But ultimately, I was blessed because his confidence, his trust, and his expectant waiting was primarily on the Lord. As we look up, we need to learn to live with a humility and a dependence. In Psalm 71, the psalmist's hope, his confidence, his trust, his expectancy is not based on what he has done for God, but what God has done for him. There is no sense of self-righteousness, no sense of, "Well, God, look at all I've done for you. Look at all that I've given up for you. Look at how holy, righteous I am." Instead, the psalmist, as we should, with humility declares that since birth, he has been dependent upon God. I think that many of us, perhaps most of us, have at times experienced a sense of disappointment and perhaps even despair. And with that comes a sense that, well, God owes us better than that. God owes us better than what we're experiencing. This sense of, well, God, after all I've done for you, all I've given up for you, is it too much to ask that you just give me a break? Is it too much to ask that you just give me this one thing that I desire? It's part of being human to feel that. Despair and disappointment are real emotions. But can I say that God is big enough to hear our complaints against him? And yet the words of the psalm remind us that this truth remains, that we will never find hope in ourselves, in who we are or what we have done, and never in our own goodness. We find hope only in God, in who he is, in what he has done, in his grace and in his greatness. And so the psalm writers call us to look up. If you want to find hope, look also back to the past. You think about just the way you do life. In your life, who are the people that you have most confidence in? It's those you have history with and who have proven themselves faithful and dependable. You think about, in your life, who are the people you trust? Again, it's those who over time have proven themselves to be trustworthy, reliable. Think about it, in your life, who are the people who you are prepared to wait for with confident expectation? It is those people who have not let us down. You see, this is the way we do life. Well, it's certainly the way I do my life. My background of being bullied and teased as a young child means that I do not share much of my life in any depth with a stranger on a train. I don't know how people do that. I don't share my life in depth with somebody I've just met at a party. I confide in those with those whom I have history with. I confide in those friends or those family whom over time have shown themselves to be faithful and reliable, who have allowed me into their lives, and therefore I feel confident in allowing them into mine. I have two mentors in my life, and I've known both of them for over 25 years. One of them mentors me in my ministry, making sure that I'm living up to the calling that God's placed on my life. The other mentors me in my marriage and in my walk with God, making sure that my life is on track. But these are men that I've journeyed with a long time, and so I trust them deeply. I have confidence in them. I have an expectation they're looking out for me. Even my mechanic, I've known her since she was young. She is a person of skill and integrity and someone I have enormous respect for. I have history with her. See, this is why to find hope, we need to look back. We look back to what God has already done. And this is what the psalmist in Psalm 71 declares as he looks back over his life, that God has proven himself to be faithful, to be trustworthy, and someone who will not let us down. In fact, this is not just the psalm, the theme of Psalm 71, it is the theme of the whole book of the Psalms. The book of Psalms calls God's people to sing of what their God, their Creator, and their Saviour has done. To remember what God, their Creator, and their Saviour has been to us in the past. We find hope for the present and we find hope for the future when we think about what we have known and what we have experienced of God in the past as we look back. Our confidence, our trust, and our expectant waiting is strengthened when we are reminded of all that God has already done. For this reason, we find hope in Scripture. As we read it, we see all that God has done. We see who he is, his character, his faithfulness, his integrity, his reliability. We find hope also when we worship, either alone or when we gather together. Remember those days. Being reminded of God's greatness and his goodness. This was true of Israel as they sung the Psalms. Even during their darkest times of exile and occupation, they found hope as they sung together, as they were reminded of who their God is and all that he has done. And this remains true for us, that God's word and our worship of him lift our eyes to see him as we look back and see all that he has done. Something else that is helpful in looking back is actually the sharing with one another what God has done in our lives. This is what we do in open mic, where we invite people to come and to share stories of what God has done. It's what we do when we share testimonies online and people share of what God has done. We are looking back to find hope. We are looking back to strengthen hope for the present and for the future. Something that's been really important for me in finding hope has actually over many years been my journaling. For many years I've recorded regularly what I've sensed God is showing me from His Word. What I sense that God is showing me as I struggle with something, as I've recorded answered prayers. And at times I will go back and I will read through my journal. I will drop back a year or 2 years. I can drop back over 20 years now. And in doing so, it strengthens my hope. Because as I read of what I sense God was saying and teaching and showing me back then, it reminds me that that's right. That's what God did back then. That's what He showed me. That's what God did. And it gives me hope for both my present and also my future. And so as we look back, I encourage you to live in these ways. To live with a sense of reflection, to live in a place of worship, and to live with gratitude for all that God has done. So if you want to find hope, look up. If you want to find hope, look back. But then I just want to finish by saying, if you want to find hope, look in. Not into us, but actually into an empty grave. God's goodness, God's grace, His righteousness, His sovereignty, His greatness is revealed most perfectly and most completely in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, this concept of hope carries with it the same Hebrew understanding of confidence and trust and expectancy. There is nothing weak, there is nothing wishful or pessimistic as we read of hope in the New Testament, because it is centered on the empty grave. It is centered on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, Paul declares, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Peter declares, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." The New Testament is simply bursting with hope. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this confidence, we have this trust in God, we have this expectancy of the future. And part of the Christian hope that the New Testament speaks to us of includes the certainty of our salvation because of the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. It brings about the forgiveness of sin. Part of the hope includes the promise of God's presence, His presence with us now by His indwelling Holy Spirit, but His eternal presence with us as we are with Him in eternity. The hope also includes the promise that despite our failings and who we are, that we are in Christ new creations now, and that we will be renewed along with all of creation in the time to come. And the hope also includes the certainty of this eternal inheritance that we receive as heirs of God, as his sons and daughters. The New Testament is bursting with hope because we find hope when we look in, when we look in and see the empty grave. And the way in which we live this out is to live in love and in joy and in peace. Romans 15 that we've been dwelling on over the past weeks says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality is we experience times of grief, despair and disappointment. This is life. It's not just our experience, but it's the experience of all those who have come before us. But hope lays a foundation under this that draws us back to finding joy and peace despite our circumstances. And with that comes the ability to love others, seeing ourselves not just recipients of the hope of God, but also of bringers of hope to others. To find hope, look up to God. To find hope, look back to the past. And to find hope, look into an empty grave. And today, which of these three carries the strongest sense of where you think God would want you to reflect on? Just allow me to pray for us. Father, our God of hope, we thank you for who you are and all that you have done in the past and all that you have done for us, especially in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are indeed our Creator, that you sustain us in every way, and that you are our Saviour. Father, I pray that we would indeed look up to you in every circumstance, that we would also look back, and when we need to be reminded of what you have done, that we would look in on the empty grave. Father, I want to pray especially today for those who feel that great sense of hopes dashed for whatever reason, who carry with them a sense of disappointment and perhaps even despair. And Father, my prayer is that by your word and by your spirit that you would breathe life and encouragement into them today. Father, thank you for your word. May we seek to live it out for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.